Every now and then I drive to Fredericksburg and have breakfast or lunch with my pastor friend George Lumpkin, as you know, is the pastor at First United Methodist Church in Fredericksburg, Texas. George and I go back a long ways. And it's good to have people like that in your life, right? So I asked George, where do you want to have breakfast? And he says, let's meet at the German Bakery and Restaurant. Of all the places to eat in Fredericksburg, that's the only place I have not visited. So I said, now's the season, right? I got to go there. So we met there, and it was at 10 o'clock, which meant that all the locals were already gone, and all the tourists from the bed and breakfast were in, and we found a table pretty quick. And the waitress brought the menus, and I ordered waffles, ham, and eggs over medium. And what I do, I put the ham on the bottom, the waffle on top of the ham, pour syrup on there, the eggs on top of the waffle. That's just the best way to eat it. I'm just saying. So there I am. I ordered that breakfast, and my friend George ordered huevos rancheros, right? Now, the person who brought our food was not the person that took our order. So the waiter gave me the huevos rancheros, gave George the waffle, eggs, and ham. I'd been profiled, by gosh. Hurt my tender feelings, you know. Oh, my goodness. Looking at life in a new way, right? Looking at life in a new way. If there's any way that we can interpret Christmas is looking at life differently. Looking at life in a new way, away from the profiles, from the worldly expectations. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing in our life. God is doing a new thing in the church. God is doing a new thing in the community. God is doing a new thing in the world. Thank God for a new thing. And the scripture passage that lends to this theme of God doing a new thing is the one that Terry read for us. It's a beautiful passage. It's when Mary visits Elizabeth. But the story really begins in verse 5 when it talks about Zechariah. Zechariah is the priest of the temple, and there his wife Elizabeth were members of the community, and they were getting old in years, as the Bible tells us, and they had not had any children. Well, Zechariah was a priest of the temple, and he was getting everything ready for worship. And before coming out into the area to present worship, the angel Gabriel visits Zechariah and says, you know what, Zechariah, Elizabeth's going to be with a baby. You know, you all are going to have children. And you are not going to cut his hair, nor are you going to give him wine. He's going to be a Nazarite, okay? And so this spooked Zechariah so much that he couldn't speak. Now, this is what the scripture says. Zechariah was talking to Gabriel, was listening to Gabriel, and the Bible says, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering at his delay in the sanctuary. You know, they're wondering, what's going on with this man? You know, how come he hadn't come out to lead us in worship? Well, the angel Gabriel was talking to him, giving him this news. He and Elizabeth were going to be parents. Now, as scripture says, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. And now we go into Mary's visit to Elizabeth. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So what happens is that Mary finds out she is going to be with child, and Mary decides that she needs to go see her cousin Elizabeth. Jesus and John the Baptist are cousins, as Mary and Elizabeth are cousins. And Mary needs to talk to her cousin Elizabeth and say, hey, listen, something big is happening. So what happens is that Mary goes, sees Elizabeth, and when she walks into the room and Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, the baby inside her leaps for joy, gives a big kick. Kind of like Jesus and John the Baptist having a divine fist bump in the womb. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's shifting what we expect the world to tell us what Christmas is about. And what we try to do in the season of Advent is to keep Christ in Christmas. That's what Advent is all about. It's going against what the world tells us what we need to do, what we need to have, what we need to buy, what we need to decorate, what we need to package, what. And you know, I'm not a Mr. Humbug. No, I'm not that. You know, I'm wrapping presents too. I've got the Christmas tree up, and you know, it's sending cards and calling family, and I even called my sister this week that I don't like so much, right? I called her, and I said, I love you, sis. During the Advent, just want to see how y'all are doing, checking in on you. The Lord speaks to me, and I got to be obedient, too. I got to do these new things. The Lord is doing a new thing, and she was wondering why I called her, right? You know, we had a nice conversation in the parking lot of the church. It was a good thing. Is a good thing. When Mary receives Elizabeth's greeting, she sings a song of praise, the Magnificat. The Magnificat has been sung throughout Christianity. It is the oldest hymn in Christianity. It has been sung in churches and in monasteries throughout the ages. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, and the Mighty One has done great things. His mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he's shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in their thoughts, in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Now, Mary's words are fulfilled. I believe that. Mary's words are fulfilled. Christianity has contributed to the building of numerous hospitals, orphanages, community centers, hostels, has done so much for the betterment of society and community in the world. What Mary proclaimed has come to pass and will continue on because of the righteous and faithful hearts of people who commit themselves to it. So, I have a video of a ministry that I support. Rhett, can you get that video ready? I'm going to go ahead and speak to it for a little bit before it comes on. Lydia Patterson Institute is in El Paso, Texas. And Lydia Patterson Institute is a United Methodist institution of education, junior high and high school, and attends to some 400 children of the poorest of the poor, not only in the United States, but also in Mexico. Some of those kids that attend Lydia Patterson Institute leave their home at 4 o'clock in the morning in order to be able to cross the bridge and be in their school on time at 8 o'clock. 98% of their kids graduate, of which 96% of those kids that graduate go on to colleges and universities throughout the United States. Some of those becoming leaders in the United States and pastors in the United States and Mexico and beyond. We hear a lot of stuff about things that are going on the border, but this is something that goes against all the hype that we hear on the news about things that are happening on the border. This is a good thing. And this is my way of letting you know that Mary's words have come to pass, that God is doing a good new thing, and to celebrate the goodness of God's work through faithful people like us, particularly and especially the Methodist. All right, Rhett. And Jim, can you turn off that big light?
For the past 100 years, the Lydia Patterson Institute has valued its partnership with those who have provided amazing support for this vital mission. As we look forward to our next 100 years, your financial support for this school is more important now than ever before. This ministry, owned by the South Central jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church, continues to have a global focus to reach the margins and to embrace people who could easily be abandoned. All of these efforts would be futile without you and your generous, faithful donors who continue to believe in this transformative ministry. No doubt, border crossing stories are garnering national and international attention, and there are many misleading narratives about the U.S.-Mexico relationship. But make no mistake, we are neighbors, and we have a fundamental duty in the name of Christ to support and sustain each other. Lydia Patterson's ministry continues to dignify and reinforce the sacred worth of all children.
Yes! Very nice.
For 105 years, and with your assistance, this school has developed principled Christian leaders who have made substantial influences and will continue to impact the world. We find ourselves in a unique time where some might be reevaluating where to focus mission dollars. And it's important to reevaluate, but it's also important to remember. Remember that a disciple of Jesus Christ is sitting in a freshman math class in the Segundo Barrio in El Paso, Texas. A disciple that is waiting to transform the world.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Perhaps now is the best time to support Lydia Patterson, to support a global and generational ministry that models the very best of United Methodist unity and unashamedly models the transformative power of Jesus Christ.
By the way, I'm not raising money for them. But I wanted
for
to
the
use
past
that.
100 years, the Lydia Patterson.
All right, we heard it, Lord. We heard it. Just wanted to go ahead and communicate to you of what we are doing to make a difference in the world. Now, my apologies to Longhorn and Texas Raider fans. You see the American, no. But anyway, God is doing a new thing through us. God is doing a new thing through you and me and the life of the church and what we do to transform hearts and minds. This video is just one way of communicating the truth that Mary's words have come to fruition. God has done a new thing. God is doing a new thing. God will do even more through you and me. Let us open up our hearts and minds to receive the new thing that God is accomplishing through us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.